Well, we are continuing on in our study of the parable of the mustard seed. I don't know if you noticed, but the Lord Jesus often taught in parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly or a spiritual meaning. Many good things are related to us in this parable about the kingdom of heaven, which we have been studying in the two previous parables as well. The parable of the sower and the parable of the wheat and the tares. This one grows out of that and is related to those first two parables in the sense that this one talks about growth in the kingdom of heaven. And so you and I need to be able to come to terms with this, because I think we need to know what to expect in years and generations to come. For the church, it will not remain static. Things will not always be the same, although there will be progress. There has been progress in doctrine, in terms of the gospel gaining momentum among the nations over past generations. It's still coming forward. All the truth of Jesus Christ is coming forward to the nations as a part of the Great Commission. You and I are involved in that as Christians. That the Great Commission is given to all of us, not just some of us, or not just the first generation. But we all need to be able to, as a part of this church, make disciples and teach other people to observe all that Christ has commanded to us. So I've been trying to present this parable, this short little parable of two verses, in terms of progress in principle and fulfillment. That's what this is teaching here in this little parable. Let me read it for you here. He says, another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Now, I don't know whether we'll get as far as what I want to get to, that is the birds of the air, which is my final point. But let me just review very briefly where we've been. This parable is talking about growth, and it's talking about growth over the entire church age. In the beginning, the kingdom was very small, and you recall that Jesus called them a little flock, that the Father had chosen gladly to give them the kingdom. And so there was many people were calling themselves Christ's disciples, and they were following along with him, especially when he did his great miracles and his mighty works, such as feeding the 5,000, and you'll remember that after the feeding of the 5,000, that many of them were following him around, and they wanted him to feed them continually, and the Lord Jesus began to test them with difficult sayings. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourselves. And they said, this is a hard saying, and they stumbled over it. And he said, well, you know, if you can't receive this saying, you really haven't understood what I've come to do, which is to lay down my life for sinners like yourselves. So it says that after that time, many of them went back from following him. In other words, they were his disciples, but because of this, stumbling over this, they went back and they were not his disciples any longer. So it was very small until Pentecost, I've told you. And then at Pentecost, you saw many Jews from all the areas around Jerusalem who were converted through one sermon by the Apostle Peter. And then not 3,000 that day, then 5,000 a few days later, and then multitudes, it says in the book of Acts after that. And so you and I need to see the principle involved, both on the personal level and on the greater level of the gospel going to the nations. The Great Commission is, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so I said that in the first session, that how does this kingdom grow in advance? Well, it does so basically when the Lord, by the Spirit, is moving in the hearts of God's dear people to preach the gospel to people. And when we do that, then the word is accompanied with God's power, with Christ's power. And you and I need to see that and to confidently be able to share the truth with people around us each and every day as we have opportunity. That's what it means for us practically. God's going to give the growth. Paul said, I sowed and Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. God gave the increase. You and I need to see that. So I said to you that sometimes in this church age, it will appear as though the gospel is not going forward. It's going backward almost. And then at other times, it goes forward just tremendously. And it's not static at all. There's always this interaction between God and his people over whether they will share the truth with their generation. We only have this generation to serve people in, you and I. And when we're gone, we're gone. No more time. So we need to believe that the Holy Spirit is with our labors in no matter in the church that we're in, but also no matter what the results are, whether they are very small or whether they are very great. Now we rejoice in great results. But God always leads us and teaches us in relation to the desires of our hearts for the furtherance of his kingdom. And so just let me ask you, do you have those desires? Because if you have those desires, you will want to share with the gospel with people around you. You will want to see the people around you come to know Christ. You will pray and you will ask the Lord, well, what can I do in relation to this person that is talking to me now, or I am talking to them now? What is it that you want me to do here? It's to preach the gospel, but it's also to believe that the Lord will use that no matter what the response. And I've been preaching to you on Sunday mornings and the morning messages about the Apostle Paul and the great opposition that he received when he preached Christ to the Jews. That they just became very upset with him, very angry with him, because they believed that they were being saved by the ceremonial law, basically, that their circumcision, their being Jews, their being God's special people by nature, that is, in the flesh. And so they were upset when Jesus came to them, first of all, and told them, unless you believe in me, you'll perish in your sins. And then when the Apostle Paul, who was a persecutor of Christians, was converted, then they were upset with him because he was telling them that they must have Christ in order to be saved. That's what you and I share with people. That's what we live out in our lives, that we have Christ in us. The hope of glory. So there is a principle here involved in this kingdom growth. And I took you to Matthew 17, that passage in verses 14 to 21, and tried to show you why we must have what it's called, Jesus calls in that section of Scripture, mustard seed faith. Mustard seed faith. So the disciples, I said to you, had faith, and yet they couldn't cast this demon out of this epileptic boy who came to them asking, the father came asking for help, and the disciples couldn't cast the demon out. But Jesus came up and the father asked him, and he said, oh, faithless, perverse and faithless generation, how long will I be with you? And immediately he was able to cast the demon out. And so the disciples came to him afterwards And they said, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. And I said to you that these disciples had faith. I want you to see this. These disciples had faith. They had true and saving faith, and they were doing the Lord's work, even as Christ had called them to do. They had been given authority to cast out demons, and yet they couldn't cast out this particular demon. And Jesus said something very interesting. He said, this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting. And I said to you that there's going to be some times in our Christian life where our faith needs to increase in order to be able to do what God has called us in particular to do. It may not be anything quite as dramatic as casting out demons, but it is something as simple as preaching the gospel to people around us. Do you see that? And I think a lot of times we become discouraged because we don't see the results that we think that we should see. And yet, I'm asking the question, are we really praying about these things? Are we praying about ourselves and the strength of our faith? How strong is your faith? Well, you say, I may not know, and sometimes I have to pray, well, the Lord, increase my faith. Well, we should pray that. That's a good thing to pray. And we have the Holy Spirit, but in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so what I'm trying to say is that a lot of times our faith will increase as we begin to see the Lord do things in relation to what we are trying to do to be faithful to Him. That's what I'm trying to show you by this parable. I hope that you'll take notice of it, because if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, the smallest of the seeds, Jesus says, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and this will take place. And he's not so much talking about a literal physical rock mountain. He's speaking here about the kind of difficulties that these disciples were facing in casting out this demon. Something that to them they couldn't do. Something like to them that seemed impossible. And there are many things in our Christian life which seem like that to us. But with God, nothing is impossible. And with Christ, you can do all things through Him who strengthens you. So what I'm trying to get at is that there is such a thing as mustard seed faith. And it does not relate to the amount of your faith, because the mustard seed is the smallest of the seeds. You might have small faith, but if your faith is in Jesus, that's the right place for it to be. Because Jesus is the one who is in your life who can increase your faith and who can give you the spiritual strength, wisdom, and insight to know how you should go about to fulfill all of your responsibilities as a Christian, and even to see progress in the use of your personal gift in relation to Him, so that you can learn to do God's will. Yes, David. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They did have doubt. It was their unbelief. And doubt and unbelief, of course, go hand in hand in this case. So there needs to be the understanding that what Christ is looking at, what He's looking for from us is faith in Him. First and foremost of all. Not faith in ourselves so much, although, you know, the confidence that we have, there should be a confidence there. There should be real joy there in our lives in serving Jesus. But we always have to remember and to understand that when we have these doubts, what do we do then? Well, we bring them to Jesus. And Jesus will help us resolve these. In other words, the mustard seed faith is always something that takes place in relation to Jesus. Why couldn't they cast it out? Because of their unbelief. Their unbelief in what sense? In the fact that they didn't remember that even though that they had been given authority by Jesus to do this, that they still needed the presence and power of Jesus to cast out this demon. It wasn't something that they were doing on their own, apart from Jesus. And so this is one of the real lessons of this parable, and the thing that I want to bring to your attention, that we really must have this mustard seed faith. We can't just be assuming things about our faith, that it's always strong. It may be strong at certain points, and then it may be weaker at other points in relation to the things that we have been called to do. But when it's stronger, and when you have this kind of faith, and you can do like the Apostle Paul, when they said to him, "Now don't go up to Jerusalem, because we know that you're going to be persecuted up there," he said, "None of these things move me." And he was determined to go up to Jerusalem, even though he knew he was going to suffer there. And all I'm trying to tell you here is that Christ interacts with us on the level that we are, all the different levels that we are, whether we are an apostle like Paul or whether it's the simplest things in relation to our faith, our everyday life as Christians, that Christ is always there with you, dear Christian, interacting with you over the things that you are going through, and he ordains them all for your good. And I know that when we face opposition, or when we face trial or grief or pain and suffering, and we don't understand many things, that it may cause us to question, it may cause us to doubt. But this is all the more reason for believing what I'm trying to present to you here this morning about mustard seed faith. Your faith is always in relation to Christ. And it's always active in relation to Christ to accomplish what concerns you when you bring Christ into it by prayer and fasting. I'm not saying that you have to fast all the time, but you do have to pray all the time. And we need to see that. Now, pray without ceasing. "At all times I will praise the Lord." Psalm 34. "This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles." Psalm 34. So we need to see that this is a principle, first of all, before we go on to the fulfillment. Because I think that the way that God does things, if you will notice, is he starts with I'm talking about the great things that he does in the world that we'll talk about here. The great things that he does among the nations, he starts out very small, and then they grow and they progress, and then the kingdom has more and more influence upon societies and nations. We'll talk about this in the next parable, the parable of the leaven, as well. But God causes great things it's like a hinge of a door to pivot on small things. So you got this door, a heavy door, but it pivots on a hinge. It opens. God does the same thing spiritually speaking when the gospel goes to the nations. So we see impossible things like Mohammedanism in Muslim countries, or the Hinduism in India, or these great systems of opposition in the world today against Christ's cause and Christ's kingdom. We think, how can the Church of Jesus Christ, how can the gospel prevail in these societies? This is it. It begins with the principle, but there is a fulfillment according to the prediction in the Bible that God gives to us. There is success in relation to the preaching of the gospel, even through pain and suffering, and there is victory. The reason I mention these things is because, again, I think sometimes we think it is static. But you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, who is the pattern for us in all of these things, and you see that he suffered. He suffered greatly for our sins. He suffered at the hands of the Pharisees, who should have been able to receive him and receive the truth that he was trying to give to them, but they wouldn't do it. In fact, they hated him without a cause. They persecuted him. But I'm saying he went on to be, and this is important for us to remember as well, he went on to become, he went on to be perfect in the midst of all of those situations as a man. Do you see that? That's why we believe in Jesus Christ. I've written this in this tract that I want to put out to this community. But the reason that you need to believe in Jesus is because he's the only perfect man. And when people begin to grasp that out of the billions of people that God has created, that Jesus is the only one, then they begin to understand, well, what is different about Jesus? Well, he's perfect in that when he was faced with the scribes and the Pharisees persecuting him, his attitude toward them was always right. The things that he said in front of them were always right. He was not provoked by them any further than he should have been when they were saying blasphemous things about him. We need to be able to see this. So why? Because when we come into situations where we are having difficulty in relation to the gospel that we preach or the life that we live before other people as Christians, we need to remember this principle of faith. That when we are trusting in the Lord Jesus, that he is with us at all times. He is with us to help us then to display his grace, his perfections. We can tell people we aren't perfect ourselves, but we know Christ, the perfect one, and we have him in our hearts. And because of that, we know the reality of his grace helping us to become better people in terms of the things that we say and do. So all of this grows out of this little mustard seed. I want you to see this. This is how your faith grows. It's not the amount of your faith, but it's who it's fixed in and upon. That is Christ himself. And then the interaction that takes place between you and Christ is extremely important to him. If he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age," he expects you to interact with him over the deepest concerns of your heart. Even when you may not feel like that, even when you may be discouraged, doubtful, fearing, grieving, or any number of different difficulties that you're facing, you need to understand that Christ is there with you. And he is with you for your every good. Well, we don't have time to go into these things that I was going to go into, but I think this is more important that I spoke about these things that I did this morning. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we do thank you for the preciousness of Christ. To us who believe, he is precious. And we do pray that you will help us to grasp the mustard seed faith that we need to exercise day by day in living our lives unto you. We pray that we would see progress in the kingdom right here in our own church, in our lives, in our working together for the gospel, and our hopes to see this church grow and be built into a lighthouse for you, our God, in this community. We pray that we would be doing that already. We know that we're putting forth efforts. But we pray that you will come and help us to see how we can live our lives by faith and spread the gospel and show people the love of you, our Christ, and the perfections of you, our Christ, so that they might turn and believe and repent of their sins and believe in you and come into this church and even join with us in days to come. We pray that you will bless us now in our fellowship with each other, our time here together today. In Jesus' name, amen.